you have your Bibles, my friends. I trust that you do. And so take your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. And I'd like to encourage us. The title of tonight's message had some fun, maybe too much fun with the title. A Lot Like Me. A Lot Like Me. The idea, of course, the testimony of Lot while he was living at Sodom. And so there you go. But anyway, let's go to Matthew chapter 11 and then verse 23. Matthew chapter 11, verse 23. And so a remarkable statement that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ shares. And well, let's go to Matthew 11, verse 23. And the Word of God says, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day." Let us pray. Abba, Father, what a joy and a blessing to be in thy house, the house of prayer. And so, Father, what a thankful time that we are so privileged to be here, Lord. We just give you all the praise and glory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, we've been bought with a price, that we are saved once forever, and not of works, lest any man should boast. And saved, Lord, saved, gloriously saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, and through the power of his resurrection. And Father, we are so thankful that we can call you Father. And so, Lord, we just ask even now that you would be well pleased with this assembly. Let our hearts be knit, Lord, and in the Holy Spirit unity, Father, that we be, again, just thankful, yet at the same time humble, and as we would bring our petitions to you. Open our hearts to your word, Father. Help us, help me to be encouraged and challenged by just the, boy, just the premise of Lot's testimony, Lord, or lack thereof, Lord, either way, Father. And Father, so many times perhaps I can see maybe too much of myself in him. And so, Father, we pray that we'd be found faithful. And, Father, we ask that the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. Help us to do your mighty works as you send us into the harvest field. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. An amazing statement by Jesus in our opening verse. You know, really revealing two shocking truths. Number one, Jesus is really coming down hard on Capernaum, this city which was kind of his pseudo, you know, I say it's not his hometown, but kind of his base of operation for his ministry. Peter and Andrew, they lived there. That was their hometown. But coming down hard on the people of Capernaum, essentially, even though might not, if you will, necessarily be as ungodly or as wicked as those people of notorious Sodom, yet Jesus makes a remarkable statement that perhaps the way to consider it is maybe they had harder, more prideful hearts. You know, we might say that, oh, you know, their sin was not as extreme as Sodom. But it's amazing what Jesus says, because Jesus is saying is, hey, if Sodom saw what you saw, Capernaum, they would have repented and got right with God. And so so Capernaum really has that much harder of a heart, just that much more pride in your heart. And so that kind of, number two, as wicked as Sodom was, Jesus says that they would have not been destroyed if they had seen what Capernaum had seen. I mean, I can't even wrap my mind around that. I know it's true because God said it, the Lord said it. The idea is not only would they not have been destroyed, but they would have been around till this day, to Jesus' time in real time when he spoke this. I mean, they would have been even then. And so it got me thinking, when it comes to Sodom, yes, we know the sin of Sodom, the men of Sodom, was exceeding great, very, very wicked. And that's I can't even picture just how it would be living in those times. But it got me thinking about Lot, you know, Abraham's nephew. I'm assuming possibly the only witness of God and of any truth or any glimmer of righteousness that was in that city. Okay, so you had a whole city of Sodom, just a very wicked city. And then in that city, you have Lot and his family. Now, obviously, Lot is not Jesus. Lot, in fact, is not even one of the giants of the Christian faith. Okay, he's not even one of the, certainly not a prime example of what it is to be a believer in the true God, Jehovah, okay, from that standpoint. But the Scriptures does call Lot a righteous and a just man. We'll get to that in a bit in Peter. But it kind of got me thinking. Yes, I know he's not Jesus. I know he's not super spiritual, okay? But if only Lot could have, I don't know, witnessed a little bit more, prayed a little bit more, ministered a little bit more, if only his testimony was a little bit much more, that much more effective, perhaps the city would not have been destroyed. In fact, if you go back to the account, don't have to turn there, but I trust we know this account where Abraham, you know, barters with God out of for God's mercy, 50 righteous people, then all the way down to 10. And so Lot didn't even need to win the whole city to God for God to spare them. In fact, if there were just 10 righteous now, including himself, so maybe just 9 more, right? Doing the math, if there were 9 others besides himself, God said he would spare the city. In fact, when I consider Lot's own family, Lot and his wife, again, doesn't tell us she's nameless. You know, we don't know who her name is or what her name is, but she, all things are pointing that she was a local. You know, he settled in Sodom and married a local woman there. And so his wife. And then, of course, when you read the context of how he speaks with the two angels as they come, you know, he's got his two virgin daughters. So that's 4 people. And then he has his 2 married daughters, so we're up to 6 people. And then they've got, he's got his 2 sons-in-laws, and so that's 8 people. And so assuming that he had an effective testimony, which sadly he did not, even his own family. In fact, when it comes to when the angels were there, and he even offered the men his own virgin daughters so that they would leave the angels alone. I can't even fathom any father doing that, but that's what Lot did. So it really kind of shares the kind of the caliber of his character, integrity or lack thereof, okay? And then if you remember, even after the whole incident, when Sodom was destroyed and the dust settled, of course, we know the story of Lot's 2 daughters. They commit incest with dad. I mean, this is just gross all the way around. Okay, so this is just very heartbreaking of a testimony of a man that should have known better, okay? Now, I'm not pointing the fingers at Lot so much as I am to myself. The idea is this, you know, if at least Lot himself being righteous, and we know that he is, from that all intents and purposes, a believer, okay, is a follower of the true God, Jehovah. If his wife, his at least 4 daughters, his 2 sons-in-laws, if he was able to minister a little bit more, witness a little bit more to them, win them, that would be 8. It's not a big stretch to get just 2 more randoms, okay? Maybe 1 neighbor here, 1 neighbor there. You would think out of his time that he lived there. In fact, we're going to see he was not a nobody. Lot was actually, you know, he was found sitting at the gate, okay? So there's some implication that he was probably even an elder or a judge in Sodom. So he wasn't just a nameless no one. He had some influence, but it was not in spiritual matters. It was in worldly matters, which is, again, another disappointment, all right? But it kind of got me thinking, if only Lot, and Jesus testifies, you know, now, again, not from that standpoint, but the idea that if there were just 10 righteous people, God would have, okay, I won't destroy the rest of the city for those 10 righteous for their sake. So sad. And Lot, to myself, pictures that Christian with that slow but eventual descent into sin and lukewarmness, malaise, okay, just being influenced by the world instead of influencing the world, right? He's being influenced by the world instead of influencing the world, which is what God intends for all of us. Let our light so shine before men. So let's go to Genesis 13. I can, you know, kind of walk us through, and again, title of the message, a lot like me, really preaching to myself. And when you see the wickedness of Sodom, it is not unlike United States today, okay? So, I mean, it's extremely wicked. That is, you know, a reminder of the times that we live in. But let's go to Genesis 13, and it's going to, you know, we're going to start here. Verse 12, Genesis 13, and then verse 12. And so Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, of course, the promised land. Amen. And Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain. So, in fact, he starts off by living in the plains near Sodom, but his tent is pitched and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And so when he first parted company from Abram, he was not in Sodom. He was in the plains, although his heart, his desire, his driveway, okay, was pointed straight to Sodom. You know, so you could get there minimal a minimal fuss. Okay, his tent was pitched towards Sodom. And then, of course, eventually he moves into Sodom. Okay, and so he just goes downhill. Again, just a very powerful application of our Christian testimony. Of course, verse 13, but. So that's, again, when Scripture uses but, it's kind of a change of direction. This is where he was. Lot was, you know, having his tent towards Sodom. But sadly, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So, I mean, again, we know the sin of Sodom, the Sodomites, sodomy. I mean, just extremely, extremely wicked and gross. But again, we'll see that Lot not just is facing Sodom. Later on, he's actually in Sodom. Now, what type of testimony does God want Lot to have? Well, what testimony does God want all of us to have? Well, let's look at Genesis 18. Now, this is speaking about Abraham. Okay, God is commending Abraham. But, of course, what God desires in Abraham, he would desire of all of us as believers. This is how our family should be, certainly how Lot's family should have been. But Genesis 18 and then verse 18. So 18:18. And the Lord says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, wow, that he will command his children and his household after him. Amen. What a husband, what a dad. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Wonderful testimony. Wonderful praise. God is really saying, I know Abraham's heart. He's going to, you know, teach his family right. He's going to have a strong Christian testimony in his family. And of course, this is what Lot should have had as well. Of course, we know that didn't happen. But then let's go to chapter 19. Chapter 19. And so even though Lot's spiritual testimony was kind of down the tubes, he did make a name for himself, but not in a spiritual way. And so if you look at chapter 19, verse 1, it says when the angels came, okay? And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And so that is essentially saying that he's one of the, maybe a judge or an elder there. And so he got along with the people at Sodom. They respected him to some regard, that they, you know, he was made an elder or some type of elderman or something. And so he was not, not a nobody. He was a somebody. But his testimony was only effective from a secular standpoint, from a worldly standpoint. And so it kind of beckons the question to myself, do people know me for my worldly accomplishments or for my faith in Christ? Remember what Paul said to the Corinthians, I just want to know about Jesus Christ and him crucified, okay? That's all that matters. Are you saved? And where are we spiritually? What testimony do we have? Are we a family of great secular accomplishments, or are we a family of devotion to the one true God? In fact, he, even though he might not have, you know, people didn't heed him and he didn't rub off on people spiritually, he was certainly very aware of the spiritual bankruptcy and wickedness of Sodom, even though he moved into Sodom willingly. If you look at verse 3, Lot was very aware of just how things are in the city, okay? In fact, he knew full well what would happen to the two angels if they did not come into his home, okay? Look at verse 3, and he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. I mean, he said, no, you guys got, you don't want to be in the street, trust me, you don't want to hang out in the streets at Sodom. It's horrible. I insist. I won't take no for an answer. I mean, he really pushed and pressed the two angelic visitors to come into his house that night, which is great for him. But again, I want us to share that he knew just how wicked, he's no stranger to how wicked the men of Sodom are. Okay, he knows this is what happens. This is just the trend. He's seen it time and time again. And so he's really going out of his way to make sure the angels, that doesn't happen. In fact, if you go to verse 6 and 7, when the men do crowd around the house, okay, and they want to, they want to rape the two angels that are there. Okay, this is just, I can't even say those words, just that gross. But look at verse 6 and 7. It says, and Lot went out of at the door unto them and shut the door after him. So he closed the door and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Okay, so all I'm saying is Lot was fully aware that they were wicked. He was fully aware, his conscience bearing witness, what is right, what is wrong, what is wicked. what is righteous. Yet sadly, his testimony didn't influence them, not even anywhere as close as you think of Joseph. Old Testament Joseph, what a character, how he influenced those around him. You think of Daniel, how he influenced those around him. And certainly he was, in fact, sadly, instead of having that positive godly influence on the world, it was the other way around. He was vexed, he was discouraged, and then eventually overcome by it. If you go with me to 2 Peter. So years later, the Word of God reveals to us kind of how he felt, what a day in the life of Lot must have been like. And so that's kind of a heartbreak, because he knows there's wickedness abound around him. It's kind of getting him down. Yet he's kind of trapped in there, you know, and is pursuing different things and probably the internal conflict within himself. But let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. Notice how the Word of God describes Lot. 2 Peter 2. Let's go to verse 6. It says, and speaking about God's judgment, amen. O me, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. And delivered just Lot, just meaning he's, you know, again, he's a believer, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And so he is discouraged. I mean, he's overwhelmed by it, but he hasn't been able to influence others. It's been the other way around, and he's overwhelmed by it. Verse 8, for that righteous man, again, certainly he's not be, again, the ideal example of a giant of the Christian faith, but he was a believer. And praise God for that, because you will see God's deliverance dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. By the way, that's a comfort to me, because it's God. God is the one that justifies Lot. God is the one that calls him righteous, not he himself. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. This is speaking about saved, unsaved. Okay, and that's the parallel that Peter is drawing in this application. In fact, Matthew 11, let's read the next verse from our main text, Matthew 11. And then verse 24. Matthew 11, and then verse 24. Jesus continues, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Of course, because Sodom didn't see the works of Jesus, it would be more tolerable for them on judgment day than Capernaum, which of course saw the mighty works of Jesus. And it kind of got me thinking, well, what kind of mighty works are we talking about? Well, just kind of a short list. When Jesus was at Capernaum, he cast out the unclean spirit in the synagogue. He healed Peter's mother-in-law from the fever. Remember that one? And then the whole city crowded around. And in fact, he healed the whole city. And then, or at least all who came. And then he comes back later on to Capernaum. And then later on, he heals the paralytic with a palsy that was lowered down by the stretcher from the roof tiling. Okay? And then he heals the centurion's servant. He heals the nobleman's son. And even he brings Jairus' dead daughter back to life. I mean, so he does amazing things. But that's not all. Does Jesus give this warning only to Capernaum? Well, I want us to understand here. Is it the only place where Jesus himself ministered that he gives this warning? Actually, no. Jesus says the very same thing, very similar to what he says right here in verse 24. He says a very similar thing to also where he sent, not himself gone, but the disciples, where he sent his disciples. Go back to Matthew 10 with me. Notice this. Now, this gets very humbling here. Let's go to Matthew 10 and then verse 14. This is when Jesus sends out his disciples and essentially says the same thing, where in not Capernaum, but the other cities that they went to. Matthew 10 and then verse 14 and 15, the Word of God says this, and says, for whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet. It's on them. You share the gospel, they don't want it, it's on them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable, same context as chapter 11, for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And so what's amazing is, of course, remember Jesus was sent by his Father. And then Jesus sends us. In John 20, verse 21, Jesus then said to them again, peace be unto you, As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And so it's not so much about the one being sent, even though, yes, the Lord Jesus was sent, praise God. But now he sends us. It's not so much about the one that's being sent, because we are nothing. We are nothing. But it's one who does the sending. And it reminds me that we never know who will get saved. But God wants us to have a godly influence, of course, starting with my own family, praise God. And I think of Lot. And if the sin of Sodom vexed him, I know his own family must have vexed him as well. Capernaum, the Lord says, was greatly exalted, greatly blessed, okay, by God. But ultimately, they rejected Jesus. Of course, it's because they wanted only physical blessings, right? When Jesus tells him, he says, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. That's what he tells the people at Capernaum. And then later on, he preaches really hard. You got to eat the flesh and drink the blood. Like, oh, and that leads up to one of the saddest verses in Scripture, John 6:66. But he just, oh, we're done. And they left Jesus. Okay, that was just heartbreaking. Capernaum, after all the blessings, all the miracles they saw, turned away from Jesus. And Sodom was so wicked. But it amazes me what Jesus says, that if they had seen what the Capernaum people saw, they would have gotten right with God. I mean, that is mind-blowing. We never know who will get saved. Don't ever write someone off. We don't know if they're a Capernaum or if they're a Sodom. But either way, may we have that testimony that's becoming of a Christian. Praise God for God's grace. God still delivered Lot. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But may I serve the Lord. May I have a testimony that's becoming of a Christian. May I pray that, Lord, oh Lord, help me to be an influence. Help me to share the gospel. Help me to not be weary in well-doing. Help me to be a soul winner, to win souls for you. And again, going back, there was just 10 that was required. If 8, including Lot, his own family, just 2 more, that would have changed history. And by God's, well, again, it's by God's grace. But I just want to encourage us tonight, a lot like me, let's bow our heads for prayer. Abba, Father. Lord, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your goodness. Help me, Father, to be of Abraham and less like Lot, that I would train and teach and show by example my family what is just and right and righteous, Lord. And Father, that we will have a testimony that will be becoming of Christians. In today's world, Lord, again, so stark similarity to that of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so, Father, help me, Lord, to never discount your grace that can save even to the uttermost. Father, we never know when someone can get. We think of the Apostle Paul, Father. What a pattern of your grace and mercy in saving him. And so, Father, help our light so shine before men. Thank you for the folks that made it out, Lord. Bless, Lord, the prayer time now. But help us to be praying to be used of you. Help us, Lord, not to be vexed by the sin that surrounds us, but Father, that we can, through Jesus Christ, be more than conquerors. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Thank